Harriet, it's very, I mean, obviously in the limited amount of time available, it's very hard to get across everything you wanted to impart. Is there anything left over? You've now got the opportunity to get it off your chest.
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit more about one or two of the other issues that I've dealt with. One of the cases that's been very important to me and has been very inspirational in the way we brought the case was working with the women who were deceived into relationships by undercover police officers.
Now, this is one of those stories that actually hasn't had the same, because it doesn't seem to most of us civilians, if you like, that clear cut.
Well, it is remarkable, actually, how people don't get it. I mean, I think some people do immediately.
Okay, what do we need to get?
Well, what you need to get is it's not just about somebody deceiving you in a relationship, because we know that happens all the time, sadly, and particularly men often try and dupe women and make them think they're something other than they are. But it's about the power of the state to put somebody into a long-term relationship. I mean, whether or not they've deliberately told them to do it, the officers felt that they could do it, and then those officers are totally protected by all the resources of the state, and that means false identities and escape routes and all the rest of it, and then some of those men live with the women for a number of years.
And what sort of women were targeted?
And these were women who were mainly involved in social justice, political activism, environmental activism. Some were only really on the edges of that, or were friends with people, or animal rights issues. So there are people who wanted to change
sort of life behind the iron curtain.
Absolutely. I mean, it is shocking, you know. And when it first arose, I mean, everyone was gobsmacked. And I mean, I know, you know, one of the women that is involved in the case is Helen Steele, who's an amazing person who was involved in the McLibel case previously and was known about that. And she said, when she kind of had suspicions after this man disappeared from her life, and she tried to talk to people about him. I said, yeah, have you heard yourself, Helen? What planet are you living on? We don't do that sort of thing.
And that is, it is terrifying, because it implies there's a kind of state gaslighting going on, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. It, very, very much so. And even now that there was a period where they did a lot of publicity and there was a lot of news about it. And I think it kind of brought this horror out. You know, this state abuse of the most extraordinary kind out into the open. But it's kind of got stuck. And I think it's partly got stuck because they made an undercover public inquiry. And that public inquiry has been going on for nearly 4 years. And it has not, you know, the movement is so slow. And still the women who have been, the one thing they really, really need, many of them, is to understand what this was about and to get disclosure. And they still have not been given an ounce of disclosure, even though they've had, some of them, a very public apology from the head of the police and a recognition that this was abusive behaviour. So it's a matter that continues to need to be highlighting. Maybe because people think, oh, those are different, those sorts of women, so they don't relate. So unless you've been a political activist yourself, you maybe don't think you put yourself into that position. But it is actually the most alarming end of state abuse, one of the most alarming things I've seen, you know, other than, you know, kind of fatal shootings and so on. It is about institutional sexism as well, because it's a disregard, you know, that these women can be used if it's convenient to, you know, further their undercover infiltration. And why do that? Put that level of resources into basically people who are trying to make a better life by protesting and non-violent direct action.